Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
This morning, I've got something on my heart I want to share, and we're going to get right into it because I really believe that it's funny. All week I've been wrestling with this message, and then I was standing in the front row and Pastor James gets up and says, "Let me share with you about something from Luke." And I'm about to read a passage from Luke, and I was like, but interestingly, it's funny how God works, right? I haven't talked to Pastor James about what I'm sharing, and I really believe that this morning we're going to see God do some crazy stuff here at church. So you in? Yeah? You're going to be responsive? What do you reckon? Yes? Yes? Brilliant. I love it. That's good. That's good. Well, let's begin to pray. Father, we just invite you into our service this morning. We thank you that you are here with us, that you are for us, and that at every opportunity that we have, we can come into your presence and knowing that you are ready to engage with us. So, Father, today as we begin to share your word, Father, I just pray that you would open hearts, you would open minds, you would allow me to get out of the way and allow your spirit to flow in and through us. In Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, Amen. Fantastic. Today I want to preach a message called When Jesus Met. I mean, I was thinking about it this week, you know, like when you say that line, when Jesus met, does anyone think of, you know, when Harry met Sally or something like that? Not that I've ever seen it, but, you know, like it's just one of those movie titles where you're like, oh, wow. Or you think about all the different movies where there's these encounters that people have with someone that changes their life. Well, for me, I've had many of these moments over my life, but there was one particular one that happened. And it was in Brisbane, which is where I'm from. I'm a little gutted this morning about the Brisbane Lions losing the AFL Grand Final last night. But hey, I'm holding on to hope about the Broncos tonight, so we're all good. But I grew up in Queensland, and this one night, it was a Friday night, I was working for a company in the city, and we're out for at a farewell for someone. And, you know, I was leaving this place in the city. And as I walked out, I ran into a girl. It's true. I hadn't seen this girl for a number of years, and you know, we'd known each other for a long time, and I'd never seen her for a number of years. And it was this chance encounter as she was coming in to go on a date with some guy. And I'm walking out and I see her and I was like, hey, how you doing? A little bit awkward, but not, you know, she's like, oh, good to see you. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? She's like, oh, well, I'm on my way to like meet this guy. I was like, oh, that's cool. Have a great night. And off I went. I get to the train station. I hop on the train. So about 10 minutes later, and I get a text from this girl. And I'm like, interesting. Given that I already know she's on a date with a guy. Anyway, the whole train ride home, we were texting. I was thinking to myself the whole time, man, this must be a really boring day. And this guy must be just not getting any of the clues that she's putting out right now. But lo and behold, the next day I texted her and we caught up for coffee. And we've been married since then for 12 years this year. We have a beautiful daughter, as I've shared many times before. But it was a chance encounter. It was an encounter that I didn't plan for. I was living my life. I was going about my business. I had lots of things that I was ready to do with my life. And yet in that moment, who knows, something changed. Something changed. It took me a while to catch on as well. I'm a little slow, but eventually I caught up with what was going on. You see, when it comes to our lives, I'm sure many of us have had moments where we've encountered different people. We've had moments where we've come into contact with someone and it may have been an amazing person that you've been able to meet. It may be a similar story to what I've shared and you're sitting maybe next to your spouse here this morning because of a moment that's been created. But what I love about the Bible is that right throughout the Bible, we see moments where encounters took place. And many times we see Jesus encountering many different individuals and creating moments for those individuals which truly transform their life forever. Maybe their life was on one trajectory and in a moment of encountering Jesus, their life takes a complete U-turn and off it goes the other direction. Or maybe they're struggling with an illness or struggling with something that's going on in their life, and in a moment they encounter Jesus and their life is truly transformed. When I think about different people, I'm often reminded of one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He's only really brief, is Zacchaeus. He climbs up a tree in order to see Jesus, and yet Jesus sees him, and in a moment it says his whole household was saved. I think about the disciples and going about their business, fishing, tax collecting, whatever it is that their life was like. And Jesus comes along, and in a moment, there is an encounter with him that transforms their life forever. Maybe it was the woman at the well who's coming out having so many different relationships, and she comes out in the middle of the day, which is so uncustom for the time, and she meets Jesus, and in a moment, her life is transformed. But for me, there's one particular story that as I have read it time and time again, I've heard it preached many, many times before. It's the story that truly this week has encapsulated my heart about what it is I believe happens when Jesus meets us. You see, the story is found in Luke 8, 26 to 39. And it's the story where Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. You see, the context of this story is that Jesus says to his disciples, he says, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So they hop on the boat, and on the way there, there's this huge storm that happens. And in the middle of the storm, Jesus wakes up and calms the storm. Scholars say that they probably found themselves a little off target, so to speak, as to where they found themselves. And the Bible says that they find themselves in a town called Gerasenes. We'll go with that. Gerasenes? Yeah, we'll go with that. It's on the east shore of the Sea of Galilee. And what takes place in the next ensuing time is an incredible encounter that no one saw coming. Let's pick it up in verse 26. It says, so they arrived in the region of Gerasen, across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. Mark says that he used to cut himself. He would go through and screaming. He'd lived isolated for many times. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, do not torture me. For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. This spirit had often taken control of the man, even when he was placed under the guard and put in chains and shackles. He simply broke them and rushed back out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him not to let them enter the pigs. The demons begged him to let them enter the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside and into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to a nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. As the crowd soon gathered around Jesus, they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. Hear this. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people in the region of Gerasenes began to beg Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for the great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. But the man who had been freed begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything that God has done for you. So he went through all the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done. When I read this story, there are so many things that are encapsulated to me. That there is a man who is in isolation. There is a man who has been living away from his family. There is a man who has been restricted for many years, a long time, the Bible says. He'd been living under the influence of all these demons that were inciting him and causing him to live in pain and anguish and all of the things. And yet, in a moment, we see Jesus enter into his life and cause a transformation that can only bring fear to people who do not understand what's going on. And what I love is that what we see is that an encounter with Jesus is actually available to every single person. You see, this story shows that there is nothing that disqualifies us from an encounter with Jesus. There is nothing, the Bible says, that can separate you and I through his love. In fact, there is not even a Sea of Galilee. There is not anything that you are living with right now that can separate or stop you from an encounter with Jesus. This man was broken. He was outcast. He was living in tombs. He was removed from society, and yet somehow Jesus shows up. You see, it's the first and foremost thing in our walk with Jesus is about being with Jesus. And being with Jesus requires us to have a desire to go and meet him. You see, what is an encounter with Jesus? An encounter with Jesus is quite simple. It is a moment in time when God moves in a way that shifts something in your world. When was the last time that you had an encounter with Jesus? When was the last time that you had a moment where God was able to shift something in your life? Maybe it was physical. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's emotional. But I know this. I know that today God wants to meet with all of us. He wants us to come into relationship with him. He wants us to be with him in a way that shifts something tangible in our life. You see, Jesus invites all of us to have a personal relationship with him. And an encounter with him is simply about entering into his relationship through a real and authentic experience that is recognized his presence in and through our lives. When there is an encounter with Jesus, when there is a moment where Jesus wants to encounter you, when there is a situation that Jesus wants to come and bring himself into, there is a drawing that comes to him. I love what James 4:8 says. It says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." When we look at the story of this man who was possessed, it says that as Jesus arrived on the shore, the man ran to meet him. You see, there was a drawing of this man to meet Jesus where he was at. There was a drawing of this man, regardless of what his circumstance felt like, regardless of what he felt he was disqualified from. When he was drawn near to Jesus, the Bible says that he will draw near to us. You see, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us, it says in Acts. You see, I wonder this morning, I wonder if there are things that are in your life, I wonder if there's things in my life that actually prevent us from drawing close to Jesus. Not because he wants that for us, as the Bible says. In fact, it's quite the opposite, but because we choose it for ourselves. You see, do we exclude ourselves from a closeness and a proximity to Jesus because of how we see ourselves? Do we look in the mirror and say, you know what, why would Jesus love me? Why would Jesus want relationship with me? Sometimes I feel like I disappoint God. Sometimes I can feel like I've let him down. And because of that, why would he want a relationship with me? But when I read this incredible passage and this incredible story of this broken man, I am reminded that there is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that I can do. There is nothing that can separate me from an encounter with who he is. Jesus desires to encounter you every moment that we will allow ourselves to draw near to who he is. So what's holding you back? This morning, as you sit in this service, what's holding you back from an encounter moment with Jesus? A moment that can shift your world. Shift your world in the spiritual, shift your world in the physical, shift the emotional trauma maybe of your past. There is a moment that's waiting for all of us. You know, today I don't want to focus on necessarily the demons about this man, but I want to focus on the things that can hold us back. You see, I know there's 1,000 things in my life that can cause distraction. There's 1,000 things in my life that can cause me to be removed from what Jesus wants, but I honestly can come back to the thought that it just takes but one moment. But one moment to encounter him and everything can change. You see, the second thing that I get when I read this particular passage is that an encounter with Jesus is an incredibly personal experience. Every time I read about a moment where Jesus encounters someone in the Bible, there is an aspect of that story that is deeply personal to that particular moment. In some instances, he'll just heal the blind. In other instances, he'll take the time to muddy some dirt and to rub it on their eyes. Same outcome, but a very different and personal experience for every person that is involved. As I've explained earlier, I have a 2.5-year-old, and for any parent out there who's read every book and watched every podcast, and you know, I am learning very quickly that every kid is very different. And you can read every book, but there is a certain way of parenting my child that unfortunately I've discovered I can't find in any book. It's a deeply personal experience to how I look after this child. When I talk to my friends who have got multiple kids, I'm like, how the heck did you do that? They're like, everyone was completely different. You see, God created you. God designed you. God designed me. He created us all in this incredibly unique way so that when he wants to encounter you, he's going to do it in a way that is deeply personal to who you are. You see, he knows what you need. God designed you and knows what you need. Therefore, when Jesus comes to encounter you, he knows exactly how to meet you so that he can speak into your very heart, so that he can shift something in a moment. Yeah, I love how Revelation puts it in chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." It's personal. When you encounter Jesus, it's personal. You can't compare your encounter with Jesus to the person next to you. You can't stand in worship and look at the person next to you with their arms raised and tears streaming down their face and say, "But God, why is it like that for them?" You can't look at someone's life and say, "How is it it's so easy for them apparently to connect with Jesus?" Why? Because that's not how Jesus wants to connect with you. Our job in life, our role in humanity, our role in our Christianity is to walk with Jesus, to be with Jesus, and allow him to encounter us in a way that is personal to us. I know for me, it can be different at different seasons in my life. During COVID, I had a situation where every single day I would walk the same 3 kilometer, track around my house, basically. It's as far as you could go. And it was incredible that I'd walked that track many, many times before COVID, and I'd walked it even after COVID, and yet it was in that season of COVID that 3 kilometer walk created incredible moments for God and I and Jesus to encounter me where I met. What does it look like for you to be with Jesus? Is it getting out in nature? Is it a moment in worship? Is it on your knees in prayer in your room? Is it just reading your Bible and basking in all the amazing stories and wonder of who God is? Can I encourage you that as we continue to be with Jesus, that he will encounter us where we're at? The next thing that I learn about this story is that an encounter with Jesus really does lead to change. When you encounter Jesus in a real way, when you encounter Jesus in a personal way, when you have an encounter with the one who loves you more than anything in the world, then can I encourage you that that change will take place? It may not be a physical healing. It may not be demons being cast out. It may not be as extreme as what we're reading about, but it can be a moment in time where your thinking shifts, not to just the circumstance you're in, but the future that God has for you. It may be a moment in time where something internal begins to change, and there is a courage that rises up and compels you into a situation you never thought that you were going to be into. But can I encourage you that every encounter with Jesus leads to change? You can't meet Jesus and remain the same. It's not that meeting Jesus changes everything in your life. It's not that meeting Jesus will mean the instant removal of challenge. I mean, look at the disciples. They lived with Jesus, they walked with Jesus, and yet they still struggled with so many things in their own humanity. But for them, their life had been transformed because of an encounter with who he was. When I think back to the widow of Nain, right before the story we read in Luke 8, in Luke 7, it talks about this widow who was going through town in a funeral procession, a procession with her one and only son. And the Bible says that Jesus looks at her and his heart bleeds with compassion, and he walks over and he touches the coffin and the boy sits up. The boy comes alive again. That is incredible transformation. That is incredible change. But can I encourage you that in the same way that we see that change, God wants change in our life. When we think about the man in this story, the man possessed by demons, I love what it says in verse 35. It says, he was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane. You cannot enter the presence of God and leave the same way you walked in. I love that we see peace and proximity over chaos and isolation. See, David writes in Psalm 51, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When I encounter Jesus, that is my prayer. Jesus, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? Would you give me a willing spirit to sustain me in all that I'm doing? You see, God has the most beautiful picture of what your life was designed to be. He created you with a plan. He created you with a purpose. He created you to journey in a way that was in relationship with him. But sometimes we find ourselves, just like this man, removed from that picture. Relationships, hurt, sickness, failure, distraction, so many things cause us to live in isolation. But my challenge to us today is, what shift do we want to see come when we meet with Jesus and encounter with him? And the last thought I had around this scripture was that an encounter with Jesus creates a desire to share. One of my favorite things about reading through the stories of Jesus and the journey that he went on was that whenever he had an encounter with a person, regardless of whether he said to them, please don't tell anyone or not, what happened? Man, they were so pumped on what God had done, what Jesus had done. They were so pumped that they couldn't help but share what had happened. You see, when we truly know him and he's done his work in our hearts, we can't possibly keep it to ourselves. We should be compelled by what he's shown to us and by the love that he's placed in our hearts to help other people meet and be changed by him. You see, a true encounter with Jesus sends us out to tell others about him. I love what it says in verse 39. So he went through all the town proclaiming all the great things that Jesus had done for him. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine that moment? This man who was broken, living in isolation for many, many years, all of a sudden comes back into town and begins to share his story. What an encouragement for those that are meeting with him along the journey. Hey, guess what? Guess what Jesus did? I met a man. Jesus met me, and look what happened. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Can I encourage us, church? In a year when we are on a journey of come follow me, it all starts with being with Jesus. I've had to really resolve myself in a year where it's always busy, and we're now in October. Can you believe that? Like, far out, man. We are in October. Am I still creating moments to encounter Jesus? Am I drawing near to him so that he will draw near to me? Am I allowing myself space in order to allow him to encounter me, to shift something in my thinking, to shift something in my world? Because when we do, when we encounter Jesus and we are being with him, it truly does encourage us to live our life, not just for ourselves, but for others. Today I want to take some time, and the team are going to sing an incredible song called Jesus, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I really felt over this week to create a moment where we can encounter him afresh. You see, for me, in Easter 2014, I had a moment in a service just like this. I was living in Ipswich. I grew up in Ipswich. My wife was from Ipswich, and we were in a church we loved. We were serving. We were so heavily involved. And I remember standing in the front row. It was just a similar service, nothing special about it, and we were worshiping. And I remember standing there, and all of a sudden, I began to cry, which I don't really like doing. I'm not a public crier, for the record. But tears started streaming down my face, and I had a moment with Jesus. And I just knew that that was going to be my last Easter service in that church. Now, for a fifth generation Ipswichian, that's like pretty massive, right? I was like, I'm not coming back, I'm going overseas, or I'm just going away for a few months. It was like, no, this is it. But nothing special except that I was drawing near to who he was. And interestingly enough, about 3 or 4 months later, I found myself in Auckland. I found the trajectory of my life completely turned around and heading somewhere I never ever thought I would expect. But it started with an encounter with Jesus. And in a moment, something shifted. Today, would you allow God to encounter you? Would you allow God to shift something in your life? You might be here and saying, Nick, I'm all good. I got nothing. I thought I was all good too. I'm not saying you're going to leave Auckland. Maybe you will. I don't know. But I do know that when we draw near to him and we open ourselves up, he wants to meet with us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.